traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I've been in pain since the day I was born on 6th Street in a crack motel. That was where my life began. My parents are dead because of drugs, but because of mental illness, I will not follow that path. I tried to take my life. It will never happen again. If anybody tells you Kevin Hines died by suicide, you open an all-out investigation. It was a murder.
Let's fucking go, Kev.
Hold on, wait. I have to fart.
He's not doing that.
Oh, come on, bro. That was wet and juicy. It's Christmas Eve, dude. What's wrong with you?
That was really wet.
Did you have too much eggnog? Wait,
at least it was original.
Can I tell the people something?
What?
My mic smells, bro. Oh,
that's disgusting.
Wait,
no.
This just happened. It's not Christmas Eve. It's not Christmas Eve, guys.
Yes, it is.
My mic smells now. So we're shooting this right now.
No.
So we're shooting this on December 6th because our guest Kevin Hines is in town. You look so festive right
it's
now.
It's in my mouth.
Should we restart?
Yeah, we need a fan. Do we have a fan?
It tastes like hummus, dude.
That was dramatic.
I'm not gonna lie. I really just messed up the entire flow of the show.
I really
show
hope you don't.
It's fucking disgusting.
I hope you never edit that out. You should keep that in. It's honest. It's true. Everybody farts. I did 5 minutes ago. We'll get there.
Can I be honest with you, Kev?
Yes, sir.
It's absolutely staying in.
I think it has to.
That's lingering, bro.
Oh, it's a linger.
We're shooting this ahead of the time. Kevin, my man is in town. Good to see you, bro. Good to see you, man. I'm so glad you're able to come on Impulsive. You guys might recognize this guy. Kevin and I go back to the beginning of this year, so I'm glad we were able to close it out full circle. More importantly, I'm glad you brought us Christmas sweaters,
Kevin.
That was
so nice of you, dude.
That's what's happening right now.
We're all one big family, quite possibly the healthiest social media family in the game.
And also, fuck you, Spencer.
Yeah, what are you doing over there, man? You couldn't get up and join us?
It's okay, guys.
Yeah, I've never talked in...
Talking both mics.
This is great.
Wow. Yo, what's yours like, Mike?
Hello?
This is sick.
Mike's just more handsome. That's the same with Mike. It's just so frustrating.
It's the same. Hey, let's dive in. Let's talk about stuff. So you guys know, Kevin was the guy who I featured in my Suicide Be Here Tomorrow video at the beginning of the year. To this day is the number one most viewed suicide PSA on the internet and quite arguably might be the most effective. So high five for that. Kevin, as again, you guys may or may not know, has an incredible story. You can read about it at kmhinesfoundation.org. I'm sure they can find it anywhere, yeah?
I can.
But here's where this gets interesting. Kevin and I have actually grown into real friends.
Wow. Yeah,
we have.
And,
really?
And,
true.
Yeah. And
family
and
in the game.
Family, bro. What's your motto that you say?
We are the healthiest. No, I said that already. Is that the one you want?
Yeah, but you could say it again.
Say it.
I'm going to say it with a raspy voice.
Okay, tight.
We are the healthiest social media family in the game.
Ooh. Makes me want to drink my greens and...
That just makes me want to do everything.
Made my toes sweat a little bit.
Toes sweat?
Margaret hates it.
Margaret!
Margaret's Kevin's wife. Why does she hate that?
Well, her and the folks we work with, Lauren Breenan, and she's from Australia, and she's like, stop saying it. We know what you are.
Say it with your damn chest.
When I talked to the Low Gang, it was like, "Yo, we're the strongest social media family."
Got it from this guy.
No, you have to. So that focuses when you say healthiest, talking about physical, like I'm not sick, or because I know your focus is on mental health and wellness.
So I'm expanding. All right, for 17, 18 years, I traveled the world for 320 days a year telling my story about recovery from severe mental illness, bipolar disorder, type 1 with psychotic features. Both my biological parents, as I'm adopted, have it, right? Now I'm focused on all-around wellness, full wellness, whole wellness, non-inflammatory foods, most days, most meals, exercising multiple times a day for my better brain health, 23 minutes of rigorous exercise, 12 hours of better brain health. So I am working tirelessly in all aspects of my health, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, well-being, to stay alive. I live with chronic thoughts of suicide. They plague me. If I don't hustle hard and work tirelessly for my brain health, I will not be here.
You are the first guest to talk that fast.
That was amazing.
And you are also the first guest to not wear the headphones.
At all. Wear my own headphones.
He's wearing his own headphones.
Which are not connected to the audio anything. At all.
They're transmitting absolutely nothing.
No, but
totally
Kevin,
dead.
Kevin, that's amazing. So beyond Kevin having a message that is actually impacting the world.
In a big way.
You're a dope ass dude. He brought us these sweaters.
That was so true. Nice.
I've never had a Christmas sweater in my life. And now we rocking unicorns and drunk Santa Claus and ripped old men. And also Spencer's, I guess, with a shark.
Shark Santa.
Shark.
But no, thank you, Kevin. And how's that been going, bro? Because you told me on the phone you travel 320 days a year.
Most years, yeah.
It's a lot of travel. So how do you focus on your mental health and wellness when you're doing crazy shit like that?
Wake up at 4:30 every morning, hit the gym, hit the weights, or hit the ground running, or working, whatever. I do something physical every morning at 4:30 in the morning for 13 to 23 minutes every single day. I then do that 3 or 4 times a day because I deal with a lot of physical pain as well that most people don't know about.
I know.
A lot of physical pain, and that goes and comes, so I have to work out or else I don't feel good. So I do that every day. I eat at the same time roughly every day, no matter the time zone, with some variables given on travel. I sleep really well most nights, probably 5 to 7 nights a week. I'm sleeping like a rock, not a baby. Some lady said, don't say that. Don't say you're sleeping like a baby. Babies don't sleep.
They don't.
True. So I learned that lesson.
You're regimented.
Regimented. Everything is regimented. The only way to defeat mental illness is by having a strict and clear present regimen, a routine.
Yeah. A routine, yeah.
It was in Time Magazine 2004 when I was in my third psych ward stay that I read this article that said if you follow a routine that is science-based, evidence-informed to stay mentally stable, you will be more mentally stable most days than if you don't.
I've heard the same thing about boundaries. Setting boundaries for yourself and setting like a regimented daily schedule is one of the best ways to fix your mental health.
That's huge.
I allow for spontaneity on the weekends, which I think everybody
like
should
coming to Logan Paul's house. And going out impulsive. One more time on the laugh. Incredible.
Sounds kind of like Santa Claus.
Truly, truly incredible. Yeah, so you've really focused on your fitness, bro. Like you can't see right now, guys. Yo, Kevin's fucking yoked.
We see it. Let's see it.
Yeah, make sure to take those headphones off.
We can see it.
Holy shit.
We are the healthiest social media family in the game.
See, now I really believe that.
I really
vascularity,
believe it.
Bro. You got any more tickets to that gun show, man?
Yeah, man, right here.
For real.
Holy
shit. Feel it, Mike.
Come on. Solid as a rock. There it
damn,
is.
Damn. Shit. Yeah. It feels like a freaking.
Kev, when I met you, you did not look like this.
Well, how about when I was making this film, Suicide the Ripple Effect? This is for you, Log. And look how big I was. 65 pounds heavier.
Yeah, dude. Wow. 65 pounds heavier. You've made some shreds. And dude, you're lean, bro. You're lean and mean.
Lean, bro.
You're lean and nice, actually, I should say.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Can I ask you something?
Ask me anything.
I have beef with this. Why you wake up at 4:30, Kevin?
Because I have to, man. Like my alarm clock goes off by itself. Wake up.
I need that.
I'm gone. But the day has begun.
Because doesn't Mark Wahlberg wake up at like 1:30 a.m. and go to sleep at like 6 p.m.?
He does a workout.
That sounds like a personal problem.
He wakes up and like 2 a.m. or something.
No, but
that's wild.
You see the guys on Instagram, they're like, wake up at 4:30 a.m. I hit the gym. I get my protein shake. I had
48 eggs.
Yeah. Like, and I'm just like, yo, what if I wake up at like, I don't know, reasonable time, 8:30, still hit the gym and don't go to sleep as early as you. What time are you going to sleep, Kev?
I'm in bed by 10 or 11 at night most nights because I have to do that for my brain, man.
Are you sure?
Yeah, like you. You were saying, it's like you got to have
that. I'm tweeting a lot.
I was going to say, I get a lot of late night texts from you.
You have been lately because my sleep has been interrupted by certain things, but that's the physical pain talking.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll wake up in excruciating physical pain, sweating from head to toe.
I'll
have to get out of bed and go take a cold shower. And what happened was my meds poisoned my system. They poisoned my liver and my kidneys. And I was on the tipping point of Stevens-Johnson syndrome, which if you get Stevens-Johnson's, you have 1% chance of survival. I was already 1% to survive the Golden Gate Bridge. I wasn't going to be 1% again. If you get Stevens-Johnson's, don't look it up on Google. You will never close your eyes again because you won't be able to sleep.
From
the meds. Your insides come out of you. Now, I've taken medication for 20 years to mitigate my mental health. I still take it today, just a lot less. It poisoned my organs, causing secondary burns across my entire body, bloody blisters throughout head to toe.
Yo, I remember that.
So
I don't think either of you were here. You were, right?
Yep.
You came over the one day, Kev, and I could just tell, bro, you were struggling. And you explained to me what that was. And when Kevin says, guys, he was in physical excruciating pain, my man means it. So you've been taking far less medication and the routine
Has been helping, yeah.
So last medication that was poisoning me because I had to or I would die. I literally, they said, if you keep taking them, you'll die.
You said 1% chance of survival.
1% chance of survival from Stevens Johnson's. I was on the tipping point. If they hadn't caught it in the time they did, you wouldn't be sitting here talking to me.
You're an anomaly in so many ways. But I'm
blessed. I'm lucky. No, it's all good. And so Eczema Honey Co. reached out to me when they saw the burns on the IG feed. They reached out and said, look, we think this can help clear your skin. So they sent it to me and I used this Eczema Honey Co. It's not a promo. Like they did save my skin. Like secondary burns, like from a fire, man, but all from meds. So I did the honey, Eczema Honey Co. come from honeycomb, and bees, and it healed my skin physically. And I augmented my diet. I was eating so much inflammatory foods, which caused me to be 65 pounds heavier than I was, than I am now. But the inflammatory foods were also causing the majority of my mental stress. So I had extreme paranoia every day, most days, which meant that I would look around, I would see Mike, my friend Log, my friend Spencer, and I would immediately think all three of you were plotting to kill me right now. That was a day-to-day thing. Yeah. Every speech I went to, I thought the crowd of 5,000 was ready to ambush the stage and kill me every single day. But I did it anyway. And I said to myself, I'm going to go do this because if I can give them a good message before I die, then that's what I'm sent here to do. Wow. You know?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Wow. So I was reading today, stagnant minds are the breeding ground of fear. Is that, and that's what you were kind of suggesting, is the cause of mental health issues? Is having a daily regimen that keeps you focused and keeps you on track. Is that the main way that you can do it without meds that you suggest?
I'm glad you put that together because here's the thing, all right? People who aren't doing things for other people are in more pain than those who are. Giving is the true receiving. It's about to be Christmas, right? Here's the deal. People who volunteer for a cause outside of themselves are 63% more mentally well than those who do not.
Wow.
So the idea here, ladies and gentlemen, is to find your positive purpose. Get it, go for it, grab it, take it, use it, and help change someone's life because it will change yours.
Has that happened to you? Has that been a huge piece of the puzzle for you moving forward with your life and your recovery, having this purpose to raise awareness and raise, and build this conversation around suicide awareness?
Everywhere I go in the world, and I travel everywhere I can to talk about this story. When you tell someone's story, they tell you theirs. And then you've got hundreds of people, sometimes thousands, depending on the audience, that rush the stage or rush down to the gym floor, and then they tell you their truth for the first time they've never told anybody in their lives. I have a purpose. My purpose is to ignite people to share the truth because a pain shared, Mike, Log, Spencer, is a pain halved. If you share your pain, if you never silence your pain, no matter if you're the toughest person in any room, you can always survive the pain. Mm. I've been in pain since the day I was born on 6th Street in a crack motel. That was where my life began. My parents are dead because of drugs, but because of mental illness, I will not follow that path. I tried to take my life. It will never happen again. If anybody tells you Kevin Hines died by suicide, you open an all-out investigation. It was a murder.
Let's fucking go, Kev. Let's fucking go, Kevin. I love you, dude.
So what do you say to those, like, we get DMs all the time of young people in general just struggling with mental health, and like, just what do you say to somebody who's considering taking their life, or they're just having those self-doubts about themselves?
I'll break down a real-time example. 6 months ago, I was coming back to Atlanta, my home, with my wife, from a 3-week tour. I get to the Uber driver, the Uber pulls up, I get a phone call from Facebook or Instagram, like, that you can call anybody.
Yeah.
So I get a phone call from Instagram or Facebook, I answer it, it's this kid, 16-year-old kid, Colin. And Colin tells me that he couldn't make it, because I didn't make it to my last speech before the tour because of the weather, he was gonna take his life. And he said, Kevin, you got through your pain, but I can't. I said, Colin, how old are you? He said, I'm 16. I said, Colin, hold on, stay on the phone with me, brother. And I eventually got him to tell me his mom's phone number and his address. We got the police there in time. He's alive today. He calls me on a regular basis now. And he calls me on a regular basis to let me know he's safe. Look, it's not about what you say or how you say it. It's about engaging the individual in obvious lethal emotional pain and being there for that individual. We can argue about semantics of how to say the right thing or the wrong thing. If you look at them with kind eyes, hospitability and compassion, with total empathy and entire lack of judgment for what they're thinking, if you don't tell them that what they're thinking is wrong, if you let them know that millions of people around the world think of suicide, and you say, I've got your back on lockdown, and I'm not leaving this room until I know you're safe, or I'm not leaving this phone call until I know you're safe. We do that with people, my wife and I, every single day, multiple times a day. I'm my own crisis text line. But we can actually save more lives. You can text CNQR to 741-741. That's our foundation's conquer keyword. Conquer your pain.
Like
courage
that.
To talk about your mental health. Normalize the conversation. Ask the question, are you suicidal? And do you have a plan? R is for recovery, living proof. Conquer your pain and text CNQR to 741-741. If you're in crisis, they got you within minutes on lockdown, and they're going to keep you safe tonight. We've had 350 amazing. Active rescues of lives saved since we launched that.
Wow. So is a big thing, would you encourage people who are struggling really to just reach out to somebody, and you're encouraging all of us to also reach back out to those people, right?
Yeah, so you got it perfectly. And so it's not about just having them reach out, because very few of them are going to. Mm. It's about actively human beings across this nation, around the globe, searching daily for those people in that kind of augmented pain, and then reaching out so they don't have to reach in, so that we're both actually engaged in this process. Because what's going to happen is you're going to have so many people who are quieting and silencing their pain. We all need to be the stewards of hope in this hope nation. We all need to be the ones that go into them and say, hey, you look like you're unwell. I just want to know what's going on. If we don't know them from Adam, and they go, who are you and why do you care? You just say, because I'm human and I've been in pain, and you look like you are, and I got you. If you need my help, I'm here.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because in the video we made, what you just iterated was what you said that was the one thing that no one said to you. And I think that message is so important, and even more so incredibly easy for everyone to do. It's very easy to show compassion and care and be empathetic towards the person sitting to your left on a bus, if you may or may not know them.
Yeah. It's huge. Like I was, down in San Diego, I saw some guy walking down the street just crying, and we had just gotten food and he served us food, and here he's walking down the street crying, and we just went and talked to him. Hey, what's up? You know, he's trying to push us away, but we talked to him just to find out, you know, he's having an issue with his mom. But you don't know how much that conversation alone could help that person, just that they know somebody actually cares. They see them struggling. I think that's huge. Like if you see someone struggling, just
talk to them.
Talk.
Spencer does this thing. It's called the I Love You Challenge. It actually went viral. How many, you filmed it, and how many views does it have?
Yeah, across all platforms, it got over 100 million.
That is a lot of views to get on a video of you doing, you go up to someone and say.
Yeah, just say I love you to random strangers. It was like, we all got together and we're like, yo, what if we just said I love you to random people and see what their reaction is?
Such a simple concept.
I do it at the end of every speech.
It's huge, man. Yeah. Like that word, like there's people that go, you know, I grew up in a family where I was told I love you every day, multiple times. And I honestly took that for granted for the majority of my life. And I think there's a lot of people that go like potentially years without hearing that. That's crazy.
At the end of every speech, I ask everyone to stand. It's how I get my standing ovations. No, I'm kidding. At the end of every speech,
very smart.
At the end of every speech, I ask everybody who's physically capable to please stand. And I say, repeat after me, my name, your name, and then repeat after me. And I say, Kevin, they say, your name. Kevin.
Spencer.
Logan.
Mike.
It's Mike.
It's Mike. He struggles with that sometimes.
I am beautiful. Then they repeat. Kevin, I am wonderful. They repeat. Kevin,
hey, can we do this?
Let's do it. All right, here we go. Kevin.
Spencer.
Logan.
Mike.
I am.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Kevin.
Logan.
I am. Amazing.
Amazing.
Kevin.
Logan.
I am.
A walking.
Phenom. All right. Now we are all walking phenoms. We are all, hold on, we're not done. We're all intended to be here.
I gotta go for a run.
We're all intended to be here until our natural end. Suicide is never the solution to our problems. It is the problem. And I say, repeat after me. I will.
Never.
Die. By my hands. I will fight the pain.
In spite of the pain.
To thrive today.
Oh, do you have to point?
Yeah, thrive today.
To thrive today.
And I will.
Be here.
Tomorrow.
And
every damn day after that.
Woo!
Wow. Yo, I need to go to one of these, Kev.
I can imagine the energy in the room. At the end of that, I say, if nobody else tells you today, I love you. If nobody else tells you today, I care about you. And if nobody else feels this way, I want you to be here until your natural end. Think of all the children that never make it past the womb. My wife and I know that pain. Jack Ryan lived 8 weeks and no more. He wasn't intended to be here until his physical form, but you all are, for the simple fact that I get to look into your beautiful eyes. I know you're supposed to be here. Listen, this man right here, DJ Dwayne Johnson, he saved my life. His book, The Rock, says, save my life.
I see you are absolutely decked out in Dwayne The Rock Johnson gear. You have the shoes too?
He's even got the kicks. He's got the headphones, the tank top.
He got the everything.
Wow. Everything.
So, all right. I was going to ask you where you find your inspiration, Kevin. And obviously, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's one of those people.
Man, I even put a credit in the movie thanking him. I never met the man. I've been trying to meet the man for 20 years. But he in his passage in his book, The Rock says, in that book, there was a line that read about his depression and how he fought to overcome that bout of depression. And that's the book I brought to every psych ward stay until my last of 7 psych ward stays, when this kid Eduardo, this Mexican kid Eduardo, came up to me and it was signed by The Rock. My dad got it signed. And that's why I brought it to every psych ward stay, because I would read that highlighted passage and I would stay alive. Every time I was suicidal, I would stay alive because of that book.
Wow.
And this kid Eduardo goes, look, man, I need that more than you do. And I was like, nah, brother, it's signed by The Rock. I'm not giving you this book. He's like, man, you don't understand. I need that. I took a minute and I was like, I've had this with me for 7 psych ward stays. I'm just going to give it away to this kid. And a piece of my brain said, what would DJ do? And I was like, here.
Damn.
And he took it and he said, this is going to keep me alive for the rest of my life. And if I never get to meet the man, the myth, the legend, I'll be happy knowing that I got to talk about it and let him know that I rock all his merch. I buy it when it first comes out. I'm one of the first 200 people to buy all his gear every time. And I do that because it means something to me. He says, we're all projects. I am a project and I am one that is going to be completed at my natural end, never dying by my hands, holding my wife's hand like in the film The Notebook I never saw twice or cried during.
I love
The Notebook.
Can I ask you a question? Would you ever consider, I don't know, moving in with one of your friends? So I have this little area underneath where I sleep and I just could use a little bit of inspiration in the morning. And like, you just are a rocket ship.
Brother, dude. I'm going to be in, are you in LA now?
Yeah.
I know you. I saw the vlog.
Yeah,
I saw the alligator vlog.
Yeah, he lives in the house.
Yeah, in the house here.
Brother, if I would be invited, I'd be here in a heartbeat on the next plane.
Hey. So that's great.
Welcome.
I just feel like it's not going to happen. Only the spot under your next to your room is tiny, Kev.
I like floors.
Yeah, but you got a wife too. And
she come.
It would be an interesting dynamic, to say the least.
What if we had an apartment nearby? Would that work?
Oh, that'd be fire.
What do you,
Mike
you,
wants
you're
here,
based,
but
in
based in Atlanta, but I'm going to be in LA January 1 through January 31st.
Do you have events out here that we can go to, bro?
Let's set some up. That's easy to do.
If we set it up now,
there'll be a packed house. Easy.
All right, let's work on it.
What else you got going on, Kev?
Okay, working on the docuseries, The Journey, right now. The Journey is about my travels around the world, meeting individuals from all walks of life who have been positively affected by this story. We are sitting down with young and old alike, every ethnic makeup you can possibly imagine. We're going to all different countries of every background, and we are meeting people who have written into us online and said, this story, your story, Kevin, saved my life, changed my life, brought me back to faith, or saved my marriage. I get those a lot. So we're going to go sit. None of them are going to know. Wait, they're going to know now.
Oh shit!
I just messed that
up. Can we cut that, please?
No, it's okay. None of them are going to know that I'm coming. They're just going to know that they're being filmed for the docuseries about how my story affected their lives. Then I walk in, surprise, and it's been going really well so far. Wow. The next is A Time to Shine, a docuseries about a company called the Shoe Shine Guild. This is my baby. I was going to do this before I did Suicide the Ripple Effect. This is my baby. We were three main characters, three owners of the Shoe Shine Guild, a company that shines shoes and gives 6 months sober substance users a life. They've been 6 months sober. They get them 6 months sober through transcendental meditation and through hard work and hustle. And then they keep them sober. If they relapse, they get them back on the job in a matter of weeks. And they've saved thousands of lives across the country. They're in LA, New York, London, and Japan. And they are shining shoes to save lives. And their motto is shine or die.
That's so cool.
And I would very much, can I tell Mike something real quick? It's really special.
Yeah, I like Mike.
Mike,
just talking to Mike.
No pressure, Mike. But it would be my true and greatest honor if you, sir, would be the host of A Time to Shine.
I would love that, dude. I would love that. The thing is, I haven't, I've done a disservice in a lot of ways to people and not talking about my kind of my personal struggles with addiction. And, you know, I won't steal the shine today, too much, but, you know, I struggled with addiction, for a long time for, you know, over 8 years. And I really don't talk about that a lot. And hey, this is,
I don't want to interrupt you in any way, but I've made this mistake before. If you're going to dive deep, which I'm not, I would love to.
No, I wasn't. I was just going to say, which I'll get to in time, but then, yeah.
I was just going to say, do you want to do this wearing that outfit? Because literally,
No. We don't have to. But so anyways,
I just know it's gonna get clipped, and we're just gonna get
No. I don't want to. It's a good point. That's a very solid point. And anyway, I will say this. It's a topic that I will talk about when the time is right, and this episode is not that. And I knew that. But that being said, it's a cause that's very close to me, and so yeah, I would love to work with you on that.
That would mean the world to me. And to the people watching that show, it would have real value added because you've been there. And this is going to be the quintessential docuseries on substance use disorder, not addiction, not drug use, substance use disorder. My birth parents died of substance use disorder, very tragically. My adopted father, Patrick, his uncle was one of 9 children. 2 were stillborn. 5 of them died of liver cirrhosis. Alcoholism, cirrhosis.
Jesus.
And Uncle Kevin was 30 years drunk and 30 years sober. He was my savior. He went to every psych ward stay I was ever in. Uncle Kevin, may you rest in peace. My great Uncle Kevin, 20 people got up at his funeral to say, Uncle Kevin saved my life.
Wow.
And he took me to his last 10 chips a day before he died. And that's how I learned to tell stories, was from Uncle Kevin. And so I'm so blessed that I've gotten the second chance at life, and log, I can't squander it. And we have got to help as many young low gangsters and the world as humanly possible for the rest of our lives.
Always
we
the
have
goal.
To be fulfilled is to have purpose. To have purpose is to be fulfilled. We got this on lockdown, the healthiest social media family in the
game. One thing I wanted to hear from you a little bit more about, just to help people who are dealing with mental health, anxiety, depression. You mentioned you're cutting out anti-inflammatory foods. I don't know if you guys knew this, but 70% of the serotonin is produced in the gut, which is directly responsible for your mood and depression. So obviously you're probably aware of that. So what are some tips with food that you're finding out?
I wish I brought it with me, but there's a book called Genius Food by Max Lugavere, a personal friend of mine, forward written by Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, who I was just on. And Genius Foods is all non-inflammatory foods to heal your brain. Why do you think the military has so many suicides? You go to every military base in the country, what do they have? A Taco Bell, a Starbucks, and a Subway. All major inflammatory offenders. And all these guys are eating every day is this inflammation, and they're mentally unstable every single day. And until we change that, they're going to be mentally unstable, and they're going to die by suicide 22 times a day.
Right.
So if we were to change the foods in our high school system and our grade school system to not be rubbish and garbage that we're feeding our children every day, and not allow the FDA to control so much of our food, we could change the world's depression situation in a matter of months.
Yeah.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Well, I just got back from Finland. A month ago, and there they don't allow any soda, no preservatives, nothing in their schools. It's all local. It's all organic, everything. It's not all plant-based, but it's all organic and local. Yeah, which I'm on the same page. It's insane the types of food we eat, and we don't have that education about them. No. And we see the rise of mental health issues. It's kind of directly linked to what we're eating.
It's not kind of. It is absolutely 100% directly linked to it. I was living with extreme paranoia every single freaking day. Every day I thought multiple people were trying to kill me, out to get me, trying to hurt me. I thought houses were going to come alive and eat me. That's how bad my psychosis was. I was seeing things like death himself hovering over my bed with his staff and blade, telling me to come home with him as his eyes lit to fire in his skulled face. But I don't see any of that anymore. Because of the food I eat, my depression, I can knock out in an hour. Clinical depression, a bout of depression in an hour. My paranoias, even when they very rarely now come about, I can knock them out in minutes. And I knock them out by doing active exercises to remove that from my body and my mind. And I make sure that I ingest healthy things to feed my mind positive, non-inflammatory foods that make sure my brain functions at its full capacity.
That's amazing. So do you have like a couple foods to stay away from and then a couple foods to maybe swap it out, that just for the people, you know,
listening? So anything that comes in a plastic wrapping or a box, no more. Oh, okay. Let me just be frank. I have non-inflammatory foods 90% of the time. I still enjoy my treats on my cheat days,
yep.
But I'm very careful about it because if I eat too much, my skin flares up, I get burns, or my head goes wild and I start getting paranoid. Dairy is one of the biggest culprits in mental stress and mental instability. Dairy is one of the biggest culprits in mental stress and mental instability. If you all would just quit dairy, which was only meant, milk was only meant, cheese was only meant for babies that can digest it, 75% of the adult population cannot digest dairy properly. It just goes to your brain and messes you up.
Dairy is a very easy one to cut out. For those of you listening at home, I cut it out when I first came to LA, and I've only seen positive benefits from it. But I will say, it sounds like a bit of a geographical thing. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to eat healthy in LA and cut bad food out of your diet. But man, when I was living in Ohio, there's a McDonald's on the corner. Yeah. It's easy.
Food
it's
deserts,
cheap.
They're called.
What is it called?
Food deserts.
Yeah. Food deserts,
it's a place
that's
where
right.
There's no accessibility to you know, any kind of healthy foods, and people kind of get stuck in the cycle of eating fast foods. Kev, one thing I want to ask you is, you've talked a lot about foods, and you know, I think it's probably a part of the puzzle, but I think at the same time, there's a massive, you know, kind of collection of things that you do. What are some of the other things that you do to kind of keep us straight?
So I have a top 10. I have 10 steps called The Art of Wellness, which you can find on my YouTube channel. It's on the playlist, The Art of Wellness. So 10 steps, 12 videos, 3 minutes each of how to better your mind, brain, behavioral, and physical well-being. The first step is therapy. Finding the therapy that works for you. This doesn't mean talk therapy for everybody. Some people like equine therapy, water therapy. Some people like floating. I mean, it's up to you.
I like floating. I mentioned to Logan the other day, one of the most interesting things for me would be having a lazy river in my yard. I mentioned this to him.
He almost convinced me to do it. He really wants a lazy river in the backyard.
It's been
it'll benefit your brain so much.
It's been a long too, term. So we can capture
well, now that there's
that
like a medical need for it, like
so, find the therapy.
We have to
find the therapy that works for you. Okay, eating healthily most meals, most days, sleeping well most nights, five out of 7 nights a week.
I've been sleeping 9 to 10 hours.
Here we go.
And I feel fucking great.
And you look great.
And
that skin looks great.
Can I say something, Log? I miss the beard.
Fuck.
I really enjoyed it.
But
dude, it's already grown back.
See how clear his face is, though?
You look beautiful, as always. But
thank you. Thank you,
Kevin. I love the beard. It made me feel like you were just like a lumberjack.
Yeah, bounty man.
The beard gave me acne. Bad acne, man.
And wisdom, though, too.
And wisdom, though, as well.
Can we do an RIP to the beard? What was the beard's name?
Jimmy.
Was it Jimmy? Is that true? What's the beard's name like?
Beardy.
I thought it was Jaime.
I never named the beard. I never named the beard. I should have.
Can I name your beard?
It's not existent.
We still have it in the bag, don't we?
We are selling it.
Jaime, we miss you, and we'll hope to see you soon. Again.
Bye, man.
It sounds like a lot of things that you're saying are about moderation. Most nights. And I'm a huge proponent of that too. I believe strongly in cheat days and in, you know, a party a week, if anything. Me and Logan call them full send Saturdays.
Yeah, we like to go hard on Saturdays.
Just because, like, you go crazy otherwise.
Grind.
Spontaneity on the weekends is solid, man.
Yeah.
So eating healthy, exercising, educating myself as to the nature of bipolar disorder. I read literally every publication that has ever come out about bipolar disorder. Everyone that comes out, I have a Google alert. I'm ready for it. And I digest the best ways currently to benefit my brain health. So exercise, eating healthily, education, coping strategies like drawing, painting, and writing. Those are my habits. Music therapy helps me a lot and helps me sleep, actually, when I'm not sleeping well. A sleep pattern that is intact most days. And then I also have refrain from drugs, refrain from alcohol. I don't want to end up like my birth parents, so I'm never going to touch those things. I stopped drinking alcohol the day I turned 21. It was a bad scene. I had to let it go.
Wait, you stopped drinking alcohol the day you turned 21?
Yeah, so 21 years of age, I was in Chico with some friends partying, and I got a little too wild and rambunctious, and I messed up a lot of people's night, and
I
had food poisoning for like 3 days. Not food poisoning, alcohol poisoning for 3 days. It was
Mom?
So I do all these things to benefit my brain health. Once again, it's at the Art of Wellness on my playlist. And people are saying that it's helping to save their lives every day.
Do you need
him
to
nice.
Say it slower?
No, I just...
What?
So
Jake just texted me. He said... I was so right, dude.
Jake.
Uh-oh. Jake, he said, is Dead G at your house? Let me come fuck him up. That's why I didn't tell him.
Thank God. We knew it.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. No worries.
There's a lot going on.
Priorities. It's all good. It's all good. Turmoil part of my life.
We're back.
We're back. So coping strategies, refraining from drugs and alcohol. I did quit my alcohol consumption. I was way too gone on that stuff. I would get so drunk that I would affect other people's lives in a bad way. I got that last bout of alcohol poisoning and I was done. I quit overnight, which I don't recommend. It's very dangerous.
You could die.
To your body. You could die. Don't get help.
If you're an alcoholic,
I was a binge drinker on the weekends. I would binge drink until blackout many weekends. So I had to cut that out of my system. And I do all of these things and so much more because if I don't log Mike Spencer, I won't be here, man. These thoughts, they creep in and they try to destroy me. And I got this devil on my shoulder that's trying to hurt me. But you know, we're all in the same pain, just different levels. We're all in the same game, just different devils. It's just, we all got to fight.
The Rock said that.
Yes, he did. Confucius said it first.
Oh, wait, he did?
Yeah, it's we're all in the same.
That was probably The Rock in a past life.
We're all in the
though.
Same game. Yeah. We're all in the same game, just different levels. We're all in the same pain, just different devils. Confucius said it first.
Mm. Confucius said that.
Yeah, man. Google that.
Hold on a second. Confucius.
I'm sure a lot of people have said it.
When I looked it up,
Fushi probably got it first.
It rhymes.
Fushi. Con.
It wasn't a Rock original, I don't think.
I don't know.
We're finding out though. Logan's doing.
You know, fact checks are important, Logan.
Well, Confucius was born in 551 BC, which is a long ass time ago. So you're whatever language he spoke, it translated to devils and levels.
What he said in short term was there's levels to this shit.
Yeah.
He was Confucius, responsible.
So
for
Confucius
that.
Said, right, Mike says today, there's levels
to this shit.
I'm actually getting a tattoo if my wife will permit. Of and it's a beautiful tattoo.
If it's not of me, no, I'm not interested.
No, it's okay. It's Deadpool. It's the many faces of Deadpool, the comic book character. And here's why. Deadpool is analogous to pain, and so am I. I've been in pain since the day I was born. And Deadpool, the comic character by Rob Liefeld and Marvel, absolutely changed my life forever because I realized through Deadpool that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. And I've never suffered a day in my life. I've been in pain for a long time, but I've not once suffered. I've been given the gift of a second chance at life, and I'm not going to squander it. And I'm putting that on my back. We're all the whole Confucius saying, and pain is inevitable, suffering is optional, with a bunch of Deadpools melted together on my back, and it's gonna be sick as
yo.
Can we all get tattoos together
of Deadpool
tattoos,
or just tattoos in general
of each other's faces?
Yes, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'm down.
I'm
on my butt.
The Deadpool hat.
Yeah, man, I wear it every day. Every
now that makes
every
this makes
I,
so much
every
sense.
Every speech
makes
I go to,
now.
I wear my Deadpool hat, my Deadpool socks, my Deadpool underwear, briefs. Okay, not boxers. All right.
Hold on. Why briefs?
Because they fit. You know what I'm saying?
Kev, want to hear something?
I wear briefs too.
I haven't worn underwear in probably 5 years.
Oh my God, that's so true. TMI. That's so true.
It's true. Maybe I'll try that.
Kev, I don't have underwear on right now.
Why do you do that, Mike?
I just don't I don't like underwear.
Mike's the guy who's like, I don't know how to react to that.
Puts his hand in his pants too.
Oh, you are that guy,
Mike. Are we going there? Listen,
going there.
Are we going there? Have we gone there?
I think we're there, bro.
Quickly. Speaking of levels.
Yeah, man.
To this
and to this shit.
I'm campaigning for a role in Deadpool 3. Rhett Reese finally wrote back.
I think
to
you
me.
Just got it.
I am.
So. Speaking of levels to shit, how important is perspective to you? So something that happened to me recently was and speaking of veterans and military, through a brand campaign I did, I met a guy by the name of Travis Mills in Maine. Okay, not to be confused with T Mills here in LA, the rapper. I met Travis Mills. He is one of the only surviving quadruple amputees from Afghanistan, from the war in Afghanistan. So he, in an effort to protect his group, he picked up an IED backpack and blew both his arms and both his legs off. And he came back and you know, went through this complete and utter like reworking and relearning of everything. And when I met him, he was one of the most positive people I've ever met in my life.
Tell them the story of when you first,
when I first walked up to him, he reached out with his hand, his
prosthetic
hand. And I went to shake it and I shook it and he went, and scared the shit out of me.
Oh, man.
And I thought I'd hurt the shit out of him. And then he's like, I'm just fucking.
Oh, I like this guy.
This dude has no legs, no arms.
Still
he told his wife
leave me. You'll be good for the rest of your life. Take the kid, take my daughter. Don't ever talk to me again. Let me bear this pain myself. She did not leave. And in that time since then, he has started a foundation called the Travis Mills Foundation in Maine that takes in other amputees and those wounded at war to have a safe place to reacquaint themselves to society prior to going out into the world. And when I met him, all of my struggles, and there have been plenty, and I won't get into them, but faded away a little bit because I looked at him and I said, this dude has been through fucking hell, dude. You know? And so how important is perspective to you and thinking that no matter what, someone is going through something worse than you are?
Perspective is absolutely paramount. If you look at things in a certain lens of suffering and if you feel pity for yourself and self-loathing, that's going to be the lesson you learn and the lesson you lead for the rest of your life. You're going to be in that dark place. But if you look at life and all the pain life brings everyone, everyone's in pain. Everyone's been in pain. Look, when I hit the water and I came up to the surface, 70 feet, I swam with one breath without the use of my legs. A sea lion circled beneath me, kept me afloat until the Coast Guard boat arrived behind me. No joke. I've proved that. And, mm-hmm. And in the ambulance, in the Coast Guard, fished me out of the water. In the Coast Guard boat, guy looks at me, he says, do you understand, young man, how many people we pull out of these waters that are already gone? And I said, no, sir, and I don't want to know. He said, I'm going to tell you anyway. He said, young man, this unit has pulled 57 dead bodies from these waters and one live one. Perspective, right? I was the only one that unit had ever saved.
Crazy.
And when you look at that and you go, okay, I've got to see and look at life differently. Every place I get to go, I love to the 10th degree because I almost didn't get to see it. Everything I get to do is a gift because I almost couldn't. And every single person I get the distinct privilege and honor to meet, to get to know, and get to love is a gift from the heavens above because we almost never had the opportunity to grace each other's presence.
How could you lose with that mentality? Like, how could you lose with that mentality?
I could die tomorrow. I would have the most fulfilled life of anybody I know.
Kev, there's something big that I've noticed, and you've obviously noticed it way more while traveling the world, doing these events. Mental health, like you kind of have maybe like an extreme case that some people might not be able to relate to that are dealing with depression or anxiety just on a small level. But from what I've seen, mental health is something that doesn't just happen overnight. You know, it's something that can really slowly compound and add up until somebody's in their 50s, 60s, and then that's when it's triggered. So what do you suggest to the people that maybe are dealing with some minor things, but they need to take action now and they're not?
To those of us sitting down on the couch playing Metal Gear Solid till the cows come home, or those of us who are sitting stagnant in their lives, not working tirelessly for what they want to do and what they love, or they can't find what they love and they can't find their purpose. Hear me when I say this. You still have time. We got plenty of time to die, guys. We're all going to die, but it doesn't have to be by our hands. If you give the world time to have things change, you might get to have that beautiful future that you never even desired or imagined. I would have never met Margaret Hines, the love of my life, my best friend and my rock. I would have never had my dog, Max Sharpay, look just like my dad. Never had it with all the wrinkles. Never had him in my life for the time we did. I would never have two godchildren that love me unconditionally. So here's my point, is that you have time to die. Let it happen naturally. If you're in that kind of pain and you're not doing the things you need to do to balance that pain, what are you waiting for? There's no better time like the present. Suicide never has to be your solution. What you have to do is recognize your true value. Can I look in the camera and say this?
Yes, please.
All right. Those podcasters, number one podcast in the world, right here. Of all time. Right here. All right. For those podcasters watching, number one podcast in the world of all time, right here. We're sitting in it. All right. I know you're listening. I know you're watching. If you're in suicidal crisis right now, first thing you need to do is stop and breathe. 4 in through the nose, 8 through the mouth, pursed lips like a whistle, but no sound. Stop, breathe. Stop, breathe. You got plenty of time to die. It doesn't have to be by your hands. That destroys everyone left behind, but don't feel guilty about it. You want to live because you deserve this life. You deserve a purpose and a future, and you can and will find it. And here's what I'll say to you right now. I live by a motto. Here I am, send me. It was a military coin for civilian efforts in suicide prevention given to me by Commander Nichols of the B-2 bomber operation. Here I am, send me. If you need my help, at Kevin Hines Story, holler at your boy. It takes me 6 to 8 months to get back to people, but I promise you I will. Be patient and recognize that you're going to die someday. Let it happen naturally because you'll have all that time to change everything for the better, to be more positive, to have more light, love in your life. You deserve to be here until your natural end. And if you need my help, I will be there. And that's a promise.
You have made this your life mission, Kev. And you are doing such good things for the world. You've started a foundation.
Yes.
The Kevin and Margaret Hines Foundation.
Yes, sir.
Which by the time this video will be out, it was the PewDiePie video. I pledged to make a donation to it, which at the time of the recording, I don't know how much it's going to be, but hearing you talk is so evident to me that you will do wise with the money and that you will use it to do the thing you were meant to do on this planet. How do you plan on making your mark with the Kevin and Margaret Hines Foundation? What is your mission statement?
Our mission statement is that if there's anybody in pain, we've got your back on lockdown for the rest of your life. And if you need us, we will be there in some capacity, in every capacity that we can. And this foundation is going to give free therapy to kids and families who otherwise couldn't afford it. Free talk therapy that so many kids need for the struggles and the pain and the neglect and the abuse they're going through and the mental stress and the mental suffering. And we are going to help them recognize their true values through extensive therapy. And we're going to fund that effort partly because of you, Log. So thank you very much, first of all. It's going to happen. And we're also going to be creating our Conquer programs, our Conquer curriculum for our grade schools, high schools, and colleges all over the world.
Insane.
Would you say that mental health and substance abuse is the biggest issue that America faces right now?
So the CDC just came out with a report that the mortality rate of human beings has gone down for the first time in, I think, 60 years. Based on the epidemic of opioid crisis and suicide. Yeah. Suicide is driving down our life expectancy right now. All right. And this is the second rise in suicides in this country in the last 2 years, which is unprecedented. If we do not act now and get all these siloed organizations to come together and stop being competitive with each other and actually find solutions to save lives, we are going to be in a world of pain caused by suicide very, very soon, more than we already are. So we can do this together, brother, and we have to. It's a must.
That's what I'm here for, Kev. Yeah, man.
Can I just add one thing? Dude, I think it's crazy how it's basically been a year since we first met you. Mm-hmm. It's getting to the 1 year anniversary. And I just got to say, it's kind of like a bystander. Dude, this is the thing about mistakes. Like, mistakes in this culture that we live in are like, people are just thrown down for them. But if it wasn't for mistakes that we've all made in our life, we wouldn't have met you. And like, what we're doing right now wouldn't have been able to happen. So I think that's kind of something that I take away from this that I'm really grateful for.
That's a big thought.
Dude, we make mistakes, but if we get back up and make an effort to do good, there's some beautiful things that can come from that, man.
Spence, you already got the blue one, but this one's for you as well because it'll fit you.
Thank you, bro.
Hey, and I know, you know, LP's already made a cause to be a part of for a long time. And I can tell you, whether it be through making the necessary introductions to get you on the right stages or, you know, helping you on the legislature, the content side, whatever it is, that I got your back, bro.
Right on, brother.
Always.
We might need your back to go in front of Congress with Patrick Kennedy very soon.
Whenever you're ready.
Let's go. Yeah. We're going to make a difference. We're going to do it together. And the only way to survive suicide is together with no blame and no guilt. They didn't die because of you or in spite of you. They died because of an epic, unrelenting, lethal emotional pain that had nothing to do with you. Wipe that guilt off your shoulders. It doesn't belong to you. I lost 7 people, including my birth mom, which my family doesn't like to talk about, but that's a fact. And I'm not going to lose anybody else I love. That's for damn sure.
Facts.
It's amazing, bro.
Be here tomorrow, guys. An amazing, amazing podcast with one of my best friends in the world, Kevin Hines. Bro, thank you for coming on. Glad we could squeeze you in. We're going to hug it out right now.
Let's go.
Log, 23-second hugs, release oxytocin in the brain.
There we go.
They're 23-second hugs, release oxytocin in the brain.
They're going at it. Dude, y'all are going to make me tear up, man.
Do you want to do a 23-second hug after this, Spencer?
I think so, dude.
I'm down.
I'm just like, definitely feel left.
I'm kind of jealous. He's giving me the finger now.
Yep.
Just, I get my Kevin Hines hug.
Dang, we just have to sit here. Now he's rubbing it in. Funny. This is great. He's
rubbing one out.
Fuck.
Crack my back, Kevin.
Yo, 23 seconds and a back crack.
Go give someone a hug for 23 seconds.
Tell them I love you. Tell them I love you.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, whatever it is, man. Any of them work for me. Logan Paul signing off. Also, have a phenomenal Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Gaines, bro.
Merry Christmas, Gaines,
Gaines
bro.
Gaines, bro. Take it easy, guys.
Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.